We're into a brand new week of Trail Talk SA. I'm Brad Brown. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this weekly podcast aimed specifically at the South African trail running market. This week on the show, it's probably one of my favorite shows I've done. I mean, I've chatted to some great people, but this week, I don't know why, I just really, really enjoyed the show. Caught up with Lundi Kraling today, who has been doing some phenomenal, phenomenal things on trails around the country and around the world. Had a really nice, long, in-depth chat with Lundi. I hope you enjoy the interview. And then also caught up with Dale Turrell, who's in the UK and is a bit of an expert when it comes to barefoot running, minimalist running. We get into a bit of detail on that as far as minimalist goes on trail. Very, very interesting interview, I think, and hopefully you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed doing it. As always, if I could just ask you if you wouldn't mind being in touch with us, if you have any questions or comments on the show, you can pop us a tweet at TrailTalkSA. You can also like our Facebook page and interact there. Just go to facebook.com/TrailTalkSA. And a huge favor that I need to ask, if you download and listen to this podcast series through the iTunes platform, if I couldn't just ask you to take 2 minutes of your time and just leave a review for Trail Talk SA. Let us know what you think. Give us a 5-star rating or a 4-star rating or a 1-star rating, depending on how you feel about the show. And just leave some comments for us as well. What it does is it just helps other people find this podcast a lot easier on the iTunes platform. The more sort of reviews we get, obviously, the more popular we are. And it just helps our ranking, if you want to put it that way, on iTunes. And at the end of the day, I mean, this is something I love doing. And I want to share Trail Talk with as many people as I can and try and build a community as much as I can as well. And if you wouldn't mind just taking 2 minutes of your time to do that, to add a review on iTunes, I would really, really appreciate that. So without further ado, let's get into our first guest and we chat to Lundi Kraling. I tell you, we're still in early days of Trail Talk SA, and I've been so lucky to have some bloomin' amazing athletes on the show so far, and we've got another one for you this week. Lundi Kraling, welcome onto Trail Talk SA. Thanks for taking the time to catch up with us today.
Hi, Brad. Thank you so much for inviting me. Look forward to chatting.
Yeah, Lundi, I just wanted to sort of just have a nice catch-up. You've done some amazing things. You've blazed some serious trails over the last couple of months and couple of years as well. And I just wanted to sort of see where you're at and where you're heading and what the long-term sort of goals are. Before we get into sort of some of the recent results and some of your races that you've run recently and where you're going, how did you get into trail running? I saw that you only started in 2008, so you're still fairly new to the sport.
Yeah, well, basically, I started with my first trail run back in, as you mentioned, 2008, I believe. But I actually initially started with adventure racing. A couple of friends of mine asked me to do this sprint adventure race, 25 kilometer, where you mountain bike and do all sorts of obstacles and a little bit of trail running in it. And obviously, I had no like off-road or any experience, and I just did it, and I really enjoyed it. And from there on, I actually met my husband now at that race. And from there on, he invited me to a couple of adventure races. And I initially started with adventure racing then for a couple of years until about 2011, did the odd trail run here and there. And then I was seconded to America to work for PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I couldn't obviously take my bike and my boat along. So, I only had my tackies, and that made me obviously run a little bit more. So when I returned after that 4-month period, I basically just started running more and more and realized that is where my talent is and where most of my enjoyment is. So that's basically how I started with the trail running and how I just got better, and it turned into this huge thing at the moment. So.
Okay. We'll talk about the talent and that sort of thing in a moment. You mentioned you were seconded to the United States. You're an accountant by profession.
Yes, a chartered accountant. At the moment, I'm actually lecturing for UNISA students, and so not in corporate at the moment, trying to juggle the running career and the working career of it. But it's been good.
Awesome, awesome. Let's talk about talent. When did you have you always been sporty, Lani? Like growing up at school and that, were you always involved in sport, or were you more the academic side of things?
I had a good balance, but I've always when I was at primary school, I did a little bit of cross country, did quite well there, and then in high school, I mainly played hockey and did a little bit of long distance athletics as well. So yeah, I would say I've always been the sporty kind.
Were you any good at those? Like growing up, were you winning races when you were at school?
Yes. Well, I was in a fairly small school, and I grew up on a farm just outside of Cullinan. So the competition wasn't that great. So to actually achieve a first place wasn't necessarily...
You just had to pitch up.
Exactly. But, I did win some races, and I did get some provincial colours for cross country. So I assume it wasn't that bad.
You couldn't have been that bad if you're getting provincial colours. And then, Lundy, with regards to the trail, I mean, you mentioned that you sort of took to it after the adventure side of things. Is that where your love really lies, or is it just a phase that you're going through now where you go, you know what, I'm enjoying this, but who knows, 5 years down the line, it might be something else?
No, I really think that I've sort of found my thing at the moment. I love being out in the mountains, and I love, you know, running up and down all sorts of technical, any terrain I can get myself onto. And I really feel that I'm living out my passion and my dream by being out on the trail. So for me, at the moment I can't see that I will be moving on to anything else sort of soon in the near future. So if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you've found some great success in trail running. I mean, you've just got back from representing South Africa at the World Trail Champs. Tell me a little bit about that trip. That must have been amazing.
That was one of my one of my highlights of my career at this stage. Obviously, I was a little bit disappointed not being able to go to the other world championships, which was the long distance mountain running that they recently went to in Poland. But I was so lucky as to actually qualify for the World Ultra Trail Champs, which is the one that we went to in Wales now in July. For me, at this stage, I was actually only sort of focusing on the marathon distance. So the ultra marathon was a bit far, but I managed to qualify for the SA team, and I decided to give it a go. So it was actually interesting when I did a pre-race interview for Salem, and they asked me, what's your goals going into this race? And I was like, geez, I've never really run an ultra distance. You know, I've done it now in South Africa, but on a mountain, on a world championship. Mm. That was quite something new for me, so I didn't really know what I was letting myself in for. But I decided to, you know, set the goal high and try and aim for a top 10 position, and I managed to do that. Everything on the day went great, and I put the training in, and it paid off in the end, and it was really a special experience for me, one that I will remember for a long time.
I mean, you mentioned you set the goal to finish top 10, which you did. Looking ahead, I mean, is an ambition to become the world champion?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think there's definitely the fact that I was there and you know, just seeing where you compare with the world's best, and that sort of actually gave me hope. I mean, it's my first world champs, and the margin that I was behind the other girls, obviously the first lady was sort of in a class of her own, but the rest of them, it's manageable. Just with a little bit of experience and some more fine tuning and training, I definitely think a podium is on the cards in the very near future.
Well, we'll hopefully be talking to you in that near future as a world champion. That would be amazing. But looking ahead, Lundy, what's next on the cards for you?
Well, I've basically, my next big one coming up is then the Otter Trail Run. Obviously, everybody who's into trail running knows what the Otter Trail Run is, and the competition there will be great. And it's a really epic and iconic race in South Africa. So very privileged to actually take part in that one this year. And then towards the end of the year, I've got a race in New Zealand, the Kepler Challenge, which is a 60-kilometer race on the South Island of New Zealand. So very much looking forward to that. My husband and I are traveling there for a month at the end of the year.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And then, Lundy, I mean, you talk about the Otter as this amazing race, and it is. I mean, you say in South Africa, I mean, worldwide, it's known. And I mean, I was chatting to AJ about it, and he was saying everybody in Europe that he's bumped into, when they find out that he's South African, that's the first thing they talk about is the Otter. It's definitely up there as probably a list as a race on on everyone's list that they should do. Some of the other races that you've done here in South Africa that you absolutely love, that you can say to someone, you know what, you really should go and do that run. Which are your favorites?
Oh, there's quite a few, but one that jumps to mind is the Grootfontein-Bosch Trail Challenge, which is a 2-day trail race that takes place in Grootfontein-Bosch Nature Reserve, which is just outside of Heidelberg in the Cape or the Western Cape. And then another one that I would definitely for everyone is obviously the Sky Run. I don't know. It's quite a distance. There's a 60K and a 100K, but for me that was just a very special journey. And then if you're looking into something shorter, I would definitely say the Salomon Featherbed Trail Run, which is in Knysna, is one of the best, like, sort of short distance races that there is in the country. The organization, the route, just everything, the whole experience of trail running is actually present in that race, and it's really a great atmosphere as well. So if you're a sort of a newbie to the game, that would definitely be one of the races, one of the highlights I would actually recommend.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned you grew up on a farm near Cullinan, which is just north of Pretoria. You now live in the Western Cape. You guys down in the Western Cape have just got some amazing, not just races, but just amazing trails to run on. Where are some of your favorite places, not in a race, where are some of your favorite places to run?
Obviously I live in Stellenbosch. the options here is
exactly.
Basically endless. Jonkershoek and then Stellenbosch Mountain, and we basically live on Botmaskop, which is also nice. And we just moved here a couple of weeks ago, actually. And then close to my work, there's the Tigerberg Nature Reserve, where I sometimes do some of my lunchtime training runs, which is also really nice. And then obviously you've got Cape Town, which is, there's some amazing trails in Silver Mine and Hout Bay and all of that. So, no, we are a bit spoiled with that. But, happy to have that.
Saying you're a bit spoiled is probably the understatement of the year, Lundy.
Yes, I would agree. But, I mean, I made the choice. I used to be a German girl and I made the choice to move down. So I have the privilege to say that.
No, without a doubt. I mean, the Western Cape, and in particular those areas that you were just mentioning, are absolutely spectacular when it comes to trail running.
At least we have the weather that's not always on our side. So you've got to be brave to be on those trails sometimes during winter. Yeah. But I mean, that's all part of the fun and games of trail running.
I've always said it, that if you could take Joburg's climate and put it in Cape Town, you would have the best city in the world.
Yeah, but then you'd have too many people and the trails will be overpopulated and not enough space for everyone.
Too true. And then, Lundy, you're also very involved from a charity perspective. You do lots of charity work. Tell me about some of the stuff that you're involved in.
Well, I support a couple of charity events. One is the Landmark Foundation, which is also one of the charities that are involved with the Otter Trail Run. So I got involved with them a couple of years back and just sort of create awareness for all their campaigns, which is just sort of protecting the leopards in that area, specifically the Garden Route area. And then I'm also involved in the Red Sox Fridays, which is just basically a campaign for creating awareness for various sort of charities. In particular, they focused on the cancer and the pink drive and things like that. So I try and get involved in that. And recently I've also become involved with the Tiger Trails and Milan Murray's campaign for the Tigerberg Children's Hospital. So we actually just had the Tiger Trail in Jonkershoek this past weekend, where we raised quite a bit of funds for the Tigerberg Children's Hospital. So it's always good to give something back to the community and to the sport, and it keeps your passion alive, and it's really nice to actually help some of these organizations.
Yeah, I actually had Milan Murray on the show last week, and I forgot to ask her about the Tiger Trails. Tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, you talk about the Tigerberg Children's Hospital. It sounds like an amazing project that she's involved in there.
Yes. No, I really have a lot of respect for her for actually organizing all of this, because myself being a race organizer, we organize a couple of events back in Gauteng on my parents' farm, and I know what it takes to organize these sorts of events. And it's not just actually being there the day and, you know, setting up the trails. It's getting all the people on board and the sponsors and just giving everybody back. So she's just taking on these, what they call 10-kilometer little trail runs, just sort of everybody gives a donation, as the whole entry fee that they give, the donation actually goes towards the Tygerberg Children's Hospital. And she just organizes a couple of runs across the country now. She's had one in Newlands Forest, there was one in Pretoria, and now the one in Yonkers last weekend. So it's really sort of just hit off, and everybody's loving it because it's a fun atmosphere, and they also get then, the trail runners also get to give to the community and to some charities, which is a great cause, I believe. And it's not always about, you know, being competitive and just racing all the time. It's sometimes about giving back to the sport and to the community.
Yeah. Lundy, I also wanted to touch on just you as an athlete and you as an accountant. A lot of people have asked, and it's across to most sort of really top class athletes that aren't professional full time athletes. Many people battle with getting the balance right, with having a full time job, with juggling family commitments. You're married, so it's not like you're single and you've only got to worry about you. Lots of work goes into sort of putting in time to be able to perform at the top level. Give us a couple of tips how you get that balance right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people always ask that question, and sometimes I even ask that question to myself. I'm in the lucky position, or sort of created myself in that position, or that I don't have a sort of 8-to-5 job. So I am a little bit flexible, which kind of helps. But obviously, you've got various commitments, and for my side, it's basically the training, it's the lecturing. Obviously, I'm involved in organizing some races, and then the charities, and juggling all of that requires, you know, quite a little bit of careful planning. And from my side, what's also in my advantage is that my husband is also sort of into the sport. So at least some of our training runs, we don't always train together, but some of our training runs we do together. So that's sort of our quality time sometimes during the week we spend on the trails and on the training circuit. And then obviously it helps to have a sort of a plan, a training program. We train with a group 3 to 4 times a week, where we do like two sessions, and then we also do two boot camp or just strength training. So it helps to have a structure so that you don't have to think every day, okay, what must I train? Oh, I must just go for a run. You know, then it's easy to have life sort of take first priority. If you've got a training plan and a sort of eating plan and just knowing when you do what, it actually helps to sort things in place, and it helps you to manage your time, because obviously there is enough time, and I found that the more things I have to do, the more I actually get done, which is quite, you sometimes have a lot of hours in the day, but you don't know always how to actually manage them. So for me, it's just about careful planning, and then that's one of the things I would recommend.
Okay, fantastic. And then you mentioned the races that you organise on your parents' farm. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes, it's the Diamond Dash Trail Runs. So basically, it started 3 years ago when one of the community members there, there's a local conservancy, which my parents and a couple of other locals there sort of manage. It's the Sirensfeld Bavaria, or Sirensfeld Conservancy. And we just also sort of started a small adventure race and trail run there to just basically raise some funds for the conservancy. And eventually just got into this huge thing now where we've got more than 500, 600 runners pitching up at the race every year. So there's three distances. There's a 20-kilometer, a 10-kilometer, and then a 5-kilometer. And it's just really grown to be very popular sort of bushveld trail run, whole family experience. And we're very privileged to actually go back there and spend some time with the family and, you know, just be back in where we grew up. So that's actually nice to go there like once or twice a year. We normally do it in March and October every year.
That sounds pretty cool. Where can we find out more info online? Is there a website?
Yes, there's a website, www.diamond-with2ds.co.za.
Okay, cool. What I'll do is I'll link to that in the show notes as well. So if people want to find out more about it, they can just head over to the show notes for this episode as well. And then I want to try something I've never done on the show before. I'm going to throw a whole bunch of quick questions to you, and you got to, it's quick fire. You've got to answer the first thing that comes to the top of your head, if that's good.
Okay, no worries.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Apple, BlackBerry, or Android?
Android.
What's your favorite app?
Favorite app?
Yeah.
Runtastic.
What song are you absolutely loving right now?
What's that? Pink and that song from Pink. Let me just think. What's the name now?
Can you sing it?
No, I can't. Well, it's a new song from Pink and the guy from Fun. The lead singer from Fun.
Pink and Nate Roos, Give Me a Reason.
Yes, that one. Okay. Give me a reason.
What book are you reading right now?
Nothing at the moment but my Bible.
Okay. What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
Great Gatsby.
And your favorite restaurant?
Opidor in Stellenbosch.
And what do you want to be when you're big?
I guess I'm a trail runner. That's a boring answer, but yeah. When I'm big, I want to be a trail runner. Then I'll be really good.
Lundy, I mean, we spoke about some of the races you are doing. I said it to AJ, I said it to Ryan Sands as well. You must have races that are on your bucket list that you go, you know what, before you're done in your career, you want to go and run that. What are some of those, locally and internationally?
Well, definitely one of the races that internationally that I want to do is the Transalps. It's actually a stage race, a six-day stage race, and you've got to do it with a partner. So hopefully my husband and I can get into that one. And then there's two races in Europe that I would really like to do, and that's the Mont Blanc Marathon, which is a smaller version of the Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc for initially, before I carry on to the 100 milers or move over to the 100 milers. And then also I'd like to do the Zegama, which AJ got to take part in this year, in the beginning of the year.
Lundy, you're quite active online on Facebook, on Twitter, and your website as well. Where can people find you online if they want to follow your journey?
Okay, my Twitter handle is @LundGreiling, and then obviously I've got a Facebook page, which is just Lundy Greiling, and my website, LundyGreiling.com.
Awesome. I'll link to those as well in the show notes, so people can just link straight through if they want to like, follow, or be in touch on the website as well. Lundy, it's been amazing chatting. I want to wish you all the best, and congratulations with everything that you have achieved, and may your trail running career go from strength to strength.
Thanks so much for the chat, Brad, and good luck with all your endeavors as well.
Well, our next guest here on Trail Talk SA is Dale Turrell, who joins us from the UK at the moment. Dale, thanks for your time to chat to us. You're big into minimalist running. Tell me a little bit about how your journey began.
Well, in a nutshell, basically, I read the book Born to Run. We were friends with Ryan Sands, who's a mutual friend of my wife and Vanessa Haywood's. And so I started trail running, got injured. It led me to the brand that you saw, Vivo Barefoot.
Yep.
I came over to the UK. I was trying to get involved with the brand. I ended up going on a biomechanics and injury prevention course with Lee Saxby, who's probably the number one guru in injury rehab in the world when it comes to biomechanics and running. He's the guy who fixed Chris McDougall of the book Born to Run. So I got accredited under him. I was one of 12 people to be accredited. And 3 years later, I'm, you know, coaching barefoot running, and we bringing the Vivo Barefoot brand into South Africa. So if you'd have told me 3 years ago I was going to be doing this, I would have laughed at you. But it's been quite an amazing journey, and we're having some great success. You know, it's minimalist running is one of the fastest growing trends within the industry, and so is trail running. So we're involved in two of the, you know, hugely peaking sort of sectors in the industry.
Awesome. And tell me, I mean, you mentioned that you've been running a while, obviously. I mean, have you always been You mentioned the book Born to Run, okay? I mean, was that just a light switch for you that switched it over and you thought, you know what, maybe I should give this a bash?
You know, I ran at school and I've always been good at sports. I played pro golf and I've done some stuff in my career. So I've always loved sport, but running was always the horrible part of it. Goalposts and back and there and back. So for me, running was never the enjoyable part. But I was always a decent enough runner. But I read the book and my mate, the surf was cooking in Cape Town and I said, let's go surf. And he said, no, he's going to go for a run on the mountain. And I just couldn't quite comprehend it. And then, I just started running. I've got dogs. So I figured, well, walk the dogs, and then walking the dogs became running the dogs. It was just like a combination. We're blessed in Cape Town, really.
No, you are. I'm Joburg based, and you guys in Cape Town have really, I mean, winters aren't great. I chatted to Lundy Crailing a little bit early on, and she said that's just punishment because it's such a great place to live in that everything can't be perfect. So
That's too true. That's absolutely true. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we've been fortunate enough in the Cape to also have all these runners around us. You know, every time we go to a trail race, you know, we've got AJ Carlitz, Greg Goodall, Lundy, you know, we've just got all this talent, which is also really motivating to all the runners. You know, to be running with the best guys is really motivating.
And then let's talk about the minimalist side of things. I mean, I've read Born to Run and I understand the sort of thinking behind it. And I tend to agree with the thinking behind it too. But I don't know if I'm just a softy, but I can't quite figure out how. I mean, it must be crazy running technically barefoot trail.
Yeah, look, it does take a transition and it does take some getting used to. There's no doubt about it. We have become softies, but you guys up north play rugby until you're 14 barefoot. But, you know, but going on to the trails, I felt the same. It was more the transition for me of the Achilles and the calves and going to the zero drop, that was harder to get than the not actually having the plates and the steel, whatever you want to call it, all the gimmicks that we believe are going into the shoes. I mean, what led me here is 80% of runners get injured every year. I think one of the attractions of trail running is you tend to ignite a lot more muscles. You'll use quads, you'll use hammies, you'll use stabilizers because of the varying terrain. It's not as monotonous. So I think a lot of runners will opt for that because I honestly believe less guys will get injured running trail than they will on the road. It's not as repetitive and not as bike mechanically hard to just punch out that same sort of movement, you know. But, yeah, you'd be surprised how strong that foot is. I know a couple of guys like to, put in some extra cushioning or just put something on the heel. You know, if you might have a race that has a very technical downhill, maybe you would look for something. But in all honesty, all you need is a shoe that's going to stop you getting a hole in your foot.
Let's talk about just the biomechanics of it. I mean, you mentioned the Achilles, and the strike is very different running in sort of normal. I don't want to say normal because, I mean, the conventional, let me use that word rather, the conventional running shoe where you're looking at a heel strike first as opposed to the stuff that you guys are doing where it's more of a forefoot strike.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're the first to say that technique is everything. You know, a guy who's constantly getting injured, who thinks by taking off his shoes he's going to get cured. You know, this isn't a silver bullet or a magic potion. We do think that technique is the key and form is the key. You just go watch the last, you know, the world champs and track anywhere. The good runners have all got good form. So we're the first to say concentrate on your technique. Go to the websites, get information. You know, you can't just take off your shoes and it's going to cure you. That's not the case. So it does take a transition. And unfortunately, runners, triathletes, trail runners, they're stubborn as nuts. I mean, any guy can go out and run 42Ks on a mountain is stubborn and driven. So they don't like to cut from their training programs. They don't like to do any of that. And that's where they go wrong. You know, we're so driven by time. We transition. I mean, the studies and the research is just going there. There's too many brands leaning towards it, you know. Oh, I could talk to you for hours about it. A quarter of your skeleton is in your feet. 25% of the bones in your body are on your feet. It's there for a reason. It's your only shock absorber you have is your foot. You know, the ankle, the knee, those are hinges and joints. They're not made for taking shock, which if you're landing on your forefoot, your foot's doing what it's supposed to.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're landing on your heel, you're basically just jarring all the way straight back up into your hips, and causes a whole bunch of its own problems.
Exactly. You're not using the forward momentum. You know, you can run with great technique even in a shod shoe or a cushion shoe. You can run on the forefoot, But the problem is it lulls you into being lazy, and when you fatigue, you start landing on the heel. We see it time and time again. But when you're barefoot, or minimalist, it's very difficult to do that because your foot communicates with your brain. Your foot says it's sore or you're doing it wrong. So it's a very good policeman or a teacher. So as soon as you start doing it wrong, the foot will tell you it'll be sore. If you took off your shoes now and jumped up and down, you wouldn't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Because you'd be landing nice and softly. You become, well, like a ninja. You know, there's gymnastics, martial arts, anything like that that takes a very technical skill. They're all barefoot. And that's all about posture and things like that. And running, in essence, is you trying to become stable. You're falling, you're not falling. You're falling, you're not falling. You're on one leg all the time. So it's a highly skilled movement. Yeah, people don't think running is skillful. It's very skillful.
Yeah, and it's also a very natural thing, and often the shoes that you wear, I mean, from a child, you're in these shoes, and you're almost reprogramming your body to a sort of heel strike, and to break that over years and years of conditioning is quite tough. You mentioned that runners are stubborn. If somebody is sort of leaning towards, maybe they've read Born to Run, and they're thinking, you know what, maybe this is the way to go, where's the best place to go and get info on is this for me?
Well, look, the Vivo Barefoot website is, I mean, all that information and technical stuff comes from Dan Lieberman and Lee Saxby. They're probably the two most accredited guys within the field. So without a doubt there, we're going to be hosting, I mean, we host three workshops annually in South Africa, well, actually biannually, twice a year. We go around the country and we do free workshops. Guys come in, we put them on the treadmills, we do video analysis, we talk them through the do's and the don'ts, and it's not even a sales pitch. I do it at running clubs, I've done it in squash courts. It's not even about selling shoes, it's about guys actually getting what we're talking. If somebody was thinking about going to barefoot running, I would start by barefoot living, get a nice pair of flat zero drop everyday shoes. Because remember, you might run 5 hours a week, but you're going to wear shoes 10 hours a day. So that's a great place to start getting those muscles ready. And then, yeah, you know, just be careful. A great way to start is to actually not even buy a pair of barefoot shoes, but to go run around in the park or football field. Just take your shoes off and do a couple laps, and you'll actually realize how great it feels and how your body's supposed to run. And then go into one of the stores, where preferably one of the expert stores where the guys know what they're talking about, and they can talk you through some of the brands. I mean, our brand obviously is the one I would punt with, the original barefoot shoe, but there's a lot of good shoes out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the zero drop. Just for people who aren't really too clued up on all the ins and outs of minimalist running, zero drop just means that from the heel to the forefoot, it's exactly the same level, whereas in the sort of conventional running shoes that we're all used to, that heel is raised slightly, isn't it?
Absolutely. So our biggest problem we have with shoes today is, number one, the toe box is too narrow. So the first thing you want to look for is, it's pointless having a shoe where your toes can't splay out. Your toes are part of your shock absorber, and your big toe is your lever. That's what you're pushing off on. So those need to be able to expand up in the front of your shoes. You'll find most guys running in a good barefoot or minimalist running shoe won't get blisters. AJ Carlitz, when he did his 11 times up platter clip, the first thing he commented was, it's the first time he's run without getting blisters. It's the first time he had run in our shoes. So, I mean, it just shows you that we're not restricting the foot. The next thing that you want is, you don't really want an arch support, because the arch is part of your shock absorption. And then the zero drop, which is from toe to heel, that there's no change in height. So basically, if you took off your shoes and stood on the floor, that's what you're looking for. All the shoes should do is protect you from the hot and the cold and from getting a hole in your foot.
Just something really important to bear in mind is that if you are thinking of switching over, don't go and if you're running 10Ks a day normally, don't go and try and run 10Ks minimalist from the get-go, because you're going to do some damage, aren't you?
You're going to get hurt. And, you know, those muscles, we call it changing the software. So you've got to uninstall. It's like changing from Windows and going to Mac. You know, you've got to uninstall. You've got to change the software. You've got to do all of this stuff. It's not as easy as just going barefoot. And the problem, a lot of guys run with good form, will get it quite quickly, but then push it too far, and then, you know, you'll end up with a different set of injuries. It's proven that by running on your forefoot, you're 50% less chance of getting injured. That's fact. That's coming out of Harvard. But the research also says that if you run on your forefoot, you still can get injured. So it just opens up a different can of worms. but you've got much less chance of getting injured.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's been amazing chatting. I really appreciate your time, and I'd love to have you on again just to chat about it more in depth. And maybe if our listeners have got any questions, they can submit them through on the email podcast at trailtalksa.co.za, and we'll run them by you, and let's answer some of those and get some information out there.
No, we thank you guys, man. Yeah, brilliant. Loving all your stuff, loving all the podcasts. So keep them coming, especially when I'm stuck over here in London coaching. And we will keep. I'll keep you posted so you can mention to the listeners when the workshops are, because we're going to be doing Joburg, Durban, Garden Route, and Cape Town again.
Sounds
brilliant. It's worth every run coming.
Without a doubt. Let's stay in touch and let's see what we can do. It sounds fantastic. How long are you still on the Mud Island for?
Yeah, too long. Probably about another 3 weeks.
Just leave the weather there, okay? It's been great here. We don't want it.
No, we're actually not doing too badly. It's our 1 week of sunshine, so I'm going to claim it.
Yeah, summer's on Thursday.
Yeah, it's sunny today, and you've got me inside talking on Skype. I can't believe it.
We'll go and run. We'll chat soon.
Well, do good, man. Thanks for your time, hey, Brad.
Well, that's it for another week of Trail Talk SA. Thanks a lot to Dale and Lundy Kraling for joining us on the show today. I really, really enjoyed it. I hope you did too. Let me know your thoughts. Pop us a tweet, if you wouldn't mind, at Trail Talk SA. You can also like us on Facebook. Trail Talk SA is all you need to search for. Or pop me an email, podcast@trailtalksa. Just a quick heads up as well. You may or may not know, but I host a road running podcast as well called Run Talk SA. And if you've ever considered or maybe thinking about running the Comrades Marathon, there might be something that you're interested in doing if you've never run it before. Myself and Lindsay Parry, who is the official Comrades Marathon coach, are hosting a free webinar that'll take place on Tuesday, the 3rd of September, just on Is Comrades For Me? That if you're sitting having those sort of thoughts, we'll answer a whole bunch of questions. We'll go into what it takes to run Comrades, what do you need to be running now, how to intel, all of that sort of thing. And if you have any questions as well, you can ask them on the night too. It'll be a very, very interactive process. All the details, if you want to find out more, all you have to do is go to runtalksa.co.za/comrades. That's runtalksa.co.za/comrades. And yeah, just have a read up. If it's something you want to do, register. Like I said, it is free. And we'd love to have you with us on the evening and answer your questions. So until next time here on Trail Talk SA, have yourself a fabulous week and we'll chat then. Cheers. Bye.